So the scripture reading for today is from Mark, the 12th chapter, starting at the 38th verse. As he taught, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Gospel of our Lord. Well, so today we hear about widows. If you didn't hear the first reading for today, but it's the widow at Zarephath with the prophet Elijah. We'll get at that in a minute. And the psalm for today actually too mentions widows. Widows and orphans are talked a lot about in the Bible. They're brought up, in fact, 80 times in the Bible. For instance, Psalm 46 for today says it this way: "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow." And then Psalm 68:5 says this: "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God." Cool, hey? And in Acts, there are seven deacons that are set aside to make sure the widows and others on the margins of society are cared for in the early church. And in 1 Timothy, you'll find in the third chapter, widows in their early church are even given responsibilities and guidelines for conduct, and the church is the expectation of the church to care for their needs if they don't have family. So this was a very big thing. And then this is what God said to the Israelites, by the way, as they were getting organized to head into the promised land. This is Exodus 22. "You shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them, when they cry out to me, I will surely hear their plea, and my wrath will burn, and your wives will become widows, your children orphans." Yikes. Pretty serious, huh? And this is an important deal. Now, why did God pay so much attention to widows? Well, in biblical times, women didn't have a whole lot of rights. That's why. And if you were married and your husband died, if you were lucky, you had adult children. If your kids were little kids, your property still went to your husband's family. And if you didn't have kids, it went back to their family. And so if your husband died, you were just out of luck if you didn't have anything there. And a lot of people, women, fell through the cracks because the commands of God to heed the calls of justice and fairness were just unheeded. And that seems to be the plight for the widow in this story today, that yes, God is a God of justice and fairness. In Ephesians, we're reminded that spiritually we were all strangers, outcasts, orphans, until we were redeemed in the blood of Jesus, right? And we were made children of God through the grace of God. And so it makes it clear, just as it was God's good pleasure to save and redeem us, it's our joy and privilege to partner with God in saving and rescuing those who are on the edges of society, the fringes, the widows, the orphans, and others. So caring for the people on the margins is not an option for Christians. We know that. It's our duty and delight, and we do a lot to do that around here. But actually, this is just all context because the Bible stories today are really intended for a different purpose, to show us not about poverty, but what faith and generosity look like using the most marginalized people in society as examples so that we can see that when we trust God for our well-being, miracles happen. So the first story that we heard at the first service was about this widow in Zarephath. They're living in drought because God has called forth a drought. Remember King Ahab and his wife Jezebel and how they refused to worship the true God. In fact, they had false idols and fertility goddess idols set up even in the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem. You know, all these pagan gods they were worshiping right there. And God was so fed up with all that stuff. He said to Elijah, "I want you to announce that until they turn back to me, there's going to be a famine in the land." And there was. And even Elijah himself is starving. So God directs him to go to who of all people? A widow in Zarephath. And he goes to Zarephath, and here she is outside of town gathering a few sticks for her last fire to cook a meal for her son, because she has just a little handful of meal and a little bit of oil left. And then she says, after we eat that, we're going to lie down on our beds and die. That's how serious it was. But Elijah said, no, God has commanded me to tell you to give me a meal, then feed yourselves, and I promise you, you can trust God, your meal will never run out, and your oil will never run out as well. And so you know what? Sure enough, she trusts God, and what happens? She has enough food for the whole rest of that famine. When we trust God for our well-being, miracles happen. And then this woman at the temple. Jesus has just gotten done saying, you heard this, how the elders of the temple were not just neglecting the widows at the command of God, but taking advantage of them somehow or another. So while the wealthy were coming to church and throwing their offerings into these, they had these metal horns, like French horns, that went into the treasury box, and they'd throw their money in, and the wealthy people, of course, would make lots of noise, clang, 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 as they dropped their coins in, right? And along comes this poor widow. She has two coins to her name, two little ones, and the total value of those two coins is 1 cent, one penny. Clink, clink. And Jesus says, what about that? You notice that? He says, look at this. That poor widow gave more than all the rest of them combined. Why? Because she gave everything she had. Those other folks, they were giving out of their abundance, but she gave everything, you know? And it was kind of like this, he was saying. The wealthy people were giving like this. They were giving drips out of the generosity of God that they'd gotten. And what was she doing? She was giving like this. Isn't that cool? And how could she give like that? Well, because she had understood how God takes care of everything, and how God gives like this. Everything that God gives so abundantly, she knew that. She understood that, and she trusted it with her life, and she knew that God would provide the miracles, that she would be taken care of. God will take care of her because she trusts Him. And so she can be open-hearted and generous just like God is, right? And you know what? We may be a conduit of God gives, and we may be like this, or we may be like this, but we can never outgive God who gives like this, can we? And when we live in the flow of God's abundance, you know what that looks like? Looks like this. That's what our lives are like. Flowing in God's abundance, what a great thing. What a way to live. But you know, in some ways, maybe it's harder for us who have more, because maybe the more we have, the more protective we become, you know? There was a young man who once prayed, we heard this story a while back, Lord, make me rich enough to be generous, right? And he promised God that he would give God 10% of whatever he earned in his life. So he got a job, his first job, and he was making $10 a week, so he gave a dollar back to God, right? And then he got a job where he was making $100 a week. So then he was giving God $10 a week. And then he got up to $1,000 a week, and he was giving God $100 a week. Then he got to $10,000 of income a week, and he said, you know, God, I just can't afford to give all that money away. I've got responsibilities now. So you know what God said to him? He says, well, that's okay. I can always drop your income back to $10 a week so you can be generous again. You got it? Well, see that? And now this is here's an image of this. You know, when we're holding so tightly to things, there's a prayer of confession. It says, Lord, we confess we hold things too tightly that you've given us. Put your hands like this. We hang on like this. Look at this. We hang on so tightly sometimes to things, people, relationships. And what happens? We can't be open to what God wants to give us. Only when we open up like this, do this, can we receive what God has to offer us more. In abundance. See? It's like this, or it's like this. And when it's open like this, you know, then we're living like this. fully, freely, extravagantly. So that widow in Jesus' time in the temple shows us first and foremost that when we give like this, regardless of the imperfect institutions, all of the institutions we support are imperfect, whether it's Lord of Life or Habitat for Humanity or Montgomery County Food Bank or Relief for the Syrian Refugees by giving to Lutheran World Relief, we are simply conduits of a God who gives. We're conduits of a God who gives not like that, but like this, all the time, fully, freely, extravagantly. So then we can pray, Lord, take what we have, wealthy and widow alike, and Lord, make us all rich enough to be generous.